You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Maybe you already knew this, but I just read that Michigan is the nation's biggest pickle producer, by far. I found out in a Crain's Detroit Business article written by Nina Misuraca Ignazic, and she joins us now. So this idea came from your editor, who, as I understand it, is the daughter of Cy Ginsberg. And so for those of us who don't know about Cy Ginsberg's deli and its relationship to pickles, maybe you could explain that for us.
So Cy Ginsberg is a beloved brand of corned beef, and it's kind of ironic because my editor, his daughter, Amy Elliott Bragg, is a vegetarian, but she came up with this idea as part of Crain's food economy series and really just wanted to focus in on pickles as one way to look at how Michigan's food economy works. She was very excited when her editor said yes to this, so this was like a dream project for her and for me.
So how long have pickles been a thing in Michigan?
So pickles have been a thing in Michigan since before World War I. In fact, they started growing pickles in Michigan around 1907 in the Benton Harbor area, southwest Michigan, and just started growing more pickles, more pickle facilities. And then after World War II, the industry also started growing in the Saginaw Bay area.
Yeah, you were saying that there were two main pickle-growing belts in Michigan. I guess those are the two places. Why, though? Why in Michigan?
So Michigan is a great place to grow crops, period. We're one of the most diverse agricultural states after California. We have a 10 million acre agricultural industry here. We have well-drained sandy soil, which is great for pickles. We have high humidity, which they also like. So temperature-wise, soil-wise, all of that is just great for growing vegetables in general and pickles in particular.
So was there a particular ethnicity who came to Michigan and said, you know, what this state really needs is some pickling?
So the pickle industry did get going before kind of the great migration of Eastern Europeans and particularly European Jews came to this country. But when the European Jews came to the country, they brought some of the recipes that we're more familiar with today, like kosher pickles and that sort of thing. So it sort of all builded out itself. It was here before they got here, but once the Europeans got here, they kind of expanded it.
You think of pickles as being pretty robust. I mean, they last forever in the refrigerator, right? We have to remember, though, that pickles are made from cucumbers, and I guess harvesting cucumbers has a really short window. Why is that?
Yeah, so I spoke to a seed expert about that, and he told me that you could be in a field in the morning and the cucumbers aren't quite ready, but by 8 o'clock that evening, they could be ready to go. And for that reason, most of the cucumbers in Michigan, 35,000 acres of cucumbers that we grow here, are harvested mechanically with these giant combines that sort of drive through the fields and scoop up the cucumbers. So it can happen in a very, very short window of time. And for that reason, there's really no farm labor involved in it. It's more labor to sort what comes in from the harvest, from the combines.
I would think that they'd have to be pretty close to the processors, too, if they're such a delicate fruit.
Yeah, so that's sort of how the pickle engine works here in Michigan. The growers get started, and actually in an old Detroit Free Press report that I found, they talked about shipping these cucumbers by tank to Detroit for sorting. But at some point, the processors got smart and started building giant silos, either they're wood or fiberglass, half underground or above ground, out where the pickles are being grown. And so just when, you know, sort of snowballs from there.
These silos are like, that's where the brine is, the salt water?
Yeah, so they're giant vats, basically, of super saturated salt solution that can preserve the pickles for long periods of time. And as those facilities got built and all that infrastructure was there, then more pickle growers would locate themselves close to that and sort of just fed off of each other. And now we have kind of these two centers in the state where there's growers and storage in close proximity to each other.
So they're in the brine, but they're not dill pickle or bread and butter pickles yet. What happens from there?
So from there, the pickle growers and processors will ship them out to various customers, like in the case of Swanson's Pickles, which is located in southwest Michigan. They have two main customers. One is Heinz, which is located in Holland, and the other one is Treehouse, which is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so they ship those out to those facilities, and those facilities will do whatever they do. They'll add spices, salts, they'll cure them, they'll put vinegar in, whatever their unique recipes are. They'll make relish, all of the different things that pickles are used for.
I literally laughed out loud when you said the ugly pickles get to be relish.
Yes. So I spoke with Katie Hensley of Swanson Pickles, and she was mentioning that very, very little of the actual harvest is discarded. Maybe there's just some chaff that comes in from the field, but any pickle can be used for some purpose.
So we're the number one pickle manufacturer in the nation, but how much of the market do we own?
So in 2018, Michigan produced 27% of the harvest in the United States, and that was about 27% more than Florida, which is our next closest competitor.
Wow. One of your sources said something like, Michigan is the center of the pickleverse. What does that even mean?
So the pickleverse is something that came from Larry Toper, and it basically just describes this kind of ecosystem of pickle growing, manufacturing, but also kind of the culture behind it and the stories that people like Larry Toper bring from his grandmother, Lily Toper, who brought the recipes over. So it's a culture, it's an infrastructure, it's growers, it's sort of the whole shebang.
Pickling and fermentation of all kinds have become really popular in the local food movement, and pickles range from those kind on the store shelf that we're used to seeing that last forever to refrigerated pickles now, which have been around for quite a while. And now we see day pickles made in restaurants and served with hamburgers and stuff. How are pickle tastes changing?
So I think people are growing in their appreciation for craft foods and for fermentation in particular. I think over the last decade or so, we've all come to appreciate the idea of probiotics. And as Jason Grobel pointed out to me, you know, you may think eating yogurt that you're getting probiotics, but you're probably not. However, if you eat Toper's brand of fermented barrel pickles, which are a little scary, I bought my first jar actually last week, and they're cloudy. They look a little weird, but they taste amazing, and they're full of probiotics. And that's sort of where I think some of the tastes are going. People are appreciating those old recipes and the health benefits that they bring along with them.
What did they taste like?
They're tangy, and it's hard to describe. You really just have to taste one.
Okay, all right. Well, there's another thing for the bucket list, I guess. So where is the future of pickles in Michigan going?
I think the future of Michigan pickles will continue to be kind of this, no pun intended, bread and butter of large processing to supply companies like Heinz and the bigger producers. But there will also be more room for people to experiment with their family recipes to sort of get that out there. The shorter, less shelf stable fermented pickles, I think, are going to be a big opportunity going forward for kind of small-scale production.
We've been talking to Nina Mizorakan-Ignazic, who wrote an article for Crain's Detroit Business titled, Why Michigan is the Center of the Pickleverse. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.